This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Dearing, and Governor Maura Healey will join us later this hour from the WBUR studio at the State House. As we await, we are joined by a panel of experts to discuss what seems like several sort of states of emergency, both official and unofficial, here in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts right now. Here in Studio 2, Gary Daffin, Executive Director of the Multicultural AIDS Coalition and co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, and Jesse Mermel, President and founder of the social change consulting group DeWitt Impact. Gary, welcome to Studio 2 again.
Great to be here.
Jesse, good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
And then joining us on the line, Joe Battenfeld, columnist at the Boston Herald. Hey there, Joe. Welcome back.
Hey, Tiziana. Thanks.
So, few issues that we are really paying attention to under this sort of emergency theme, areas where the governor has declared states of emergency, housing and shelter, especially in serving people who are migrants, climate, flooding, but also what certainly feels especially to riders like a state of emergency on the MBTA. Joe Battenfeld, other critical sort of emergency-like issues that you may be paying attention to?
Well, I'm paying attention to the housing crisis, number one, not just for migrants, but in general. There's a housing crisis going on of low-income housing not being available and pricing people out of their neighborhoods. And, you know, we need more housing. And, you know, I'm not sure if she's, you know, how much responsible she is with that. She needs to tackle that. She's trying to tackle that, I think, but it's going to take a big effort to do that. And you're right, the T is in a state of emergency. It's not safe to work there. Mm-hmm. It's clearly not safe to work there. There's new reports out now about workers who are near misses with workers nearly getting hit by trains. And this is going on, and the MBTA has been stonewalling the feds on it and not giving them timely information on it, which is very not surprising to me because they've been doing that for years, way before the governor even got there.
So let's pick up on that. And Gary Daffin, I'll turn to you because you've already said an mm-hmm to Joe Battenfeld about that. So we have several back and forths now between the Federal Transit Administration and the MBTA over first a set of four or five near misses between trains and workers on tracks that happened in August and September. This is after warnings from the FTA last April that were almost completely unprecedented. It really only happened once before. Then the FTA finds out about this set of near misses, comes back with a letter to the MBTA, creates new restrictions. Then we find out with a set of deadlines. Then we find out through reporting from Taylor Dolvin at the Boston Globe, it turns out there was another incident on Monday with a red line train. And when that was reported internally at the T, that was also reported that there'd been another one on September 11th. So still more happening now, also under the new MBTA general manager, Philip Eng's watch. How concerned are you, Gary Daffin?
I think we're all very concerned. I mean, we've talked about the MBTA and their lapses and failures for years. I think this latest information is, when I first heard about it, I was more surprised than before. Like, I didn't think it was actually that scary and dangerous to work for the T. And it seems to me that that is a primary concern. And it seems that there had been in the recent past, an attempt to not be as transparent and clear with the federal oversight folks. So that is clearly the issue that at hand. There's a new guy, and people seem to do have faith in him. So I guess we have to let the governor and her people stay on top of this, stay on top of this new guy and give him a chance, but with a short lease, because I think people are afraid for the workers there, but also it's very concerning if this is happening to the workers, how can we feel comfortable riding? How can we feel comfortable about our own safety?
So, Jesse Mermel, we've got a series of deadlines now, one today for the MBTA to explain to the FTA what the FTA calls delays in communicating some of these safety incidents. There are a series. There's a deadline tomorrow. There's one next Monday. There's one next Thursday of different steps of retraining, explanation, planning. In the short term, the FTA has twice restricted what it's called right of way which, and in these cases, restricted sort of the time and the ways in which people can walk out onto the tracks, which is one type of restriction. I'm going to play a little sound here of Stacey Thompson, who is the executive director of Livable Streets, who reminded us back in May just how far the Federal Transit Administration can go in shutting down transit operations if they're concerned enough.
The power that they have is threefold. They can hold money back as a stick. They can take over oversight, which they did in Washington in 2015. And they can actually shut down right-of-way if they deem it necessary.
Now, she's talking about full shutdown of right-of-way, which means shutting down transit, which would be known in that world as the nuclear option.
Devastating.
But these kinds of things are starting to emerge onto the table, Jesse Mermel.
Listen, as Gary pointed out, we have known this was coming for a long, long time, and we have chosen to put Band-Aids on a patient that needed massive, massive surgery. I was part of the Patrick administration in 2013 when we proposed a $1.9 billion package between transportation and education that wound up being a $500 million package. There are countless examples of times in which the Commonwealth has underinvested or failed to invest in transit, and we are seeing that come to bear now. And Maura Healey and her administration are charged with fixing it, and fixing it in a way, to Gary's point, where not just workers but riders feel safe. This isn't just about a person who hops on the T in the morning. Every single person in the Commonwealth is impacted. I know it's so easy to think about the T is something that doesn't matter to you if you aren't a regular rider. Imagine what would happen to the state, to the economy, if the T falls into further disrepair, or as you pointed out, as Stacey pointed out, could be shut down. I think we're a long way from that happening, but as you've mentioned, is being discussed. This has ripple effects throughout Massachusetts, regardless of whether or not you've got a T-pass in your wallet. I know the Healey administration is taking it seriously, not just the new head of the MBTA, but the new secretary, acting secretary of MassDOT is someone who has been eating, sleeping, breathing MBTA for the past several years. Acting Secretary Monica Tibbetts-Nutt, she is widely respected. Yes, short leash, Gary, but I think these are people we can have a lot of faith in and push to do the right thing.
So we are here with Gary Daffin, Jesse Mermel, who was just speaking, Joe Battenfeld of the Boston Globe. Governor Maura Healey will be joining us on Radio Boston a little bit later in the hour, and we're preparing for that by looking at the issues. Joe, did I say Boston Globe? Joe, sorry about that. I am turning to you here. Just like, come on, Tiziana. So back to Joe Battenfeld of the Boston Herald. And you know, sort of wrapping up on the T, because I do want to hit the other issues during our conversation as well. Jesse brings up another interesting issue here of what Maura Healey is tasked with. We are now, September's in the ninth month of the year. We now have several senior administrators in place. Are we now at a point where Maura Healey's administration fully owns what's going on, Joe Battenfeld?
I believe they should, and I don't believe they have it under control right now. She's burned through now her second transportation secretary in less than a year. The previous one left under sort of mysterious circumstances.
Gina Fiandaca.
Yeah. And you have Tom Glynn over there, who's the head of the board of directors of the MBTA, being sort of this, from what I understand, is referred to as the shadow GM, who hangs over everybody and is in sort of a power struggle with Eng over controlling the T. So she has a couple of personnel issues to resolve there. And it doesn't seem to be under control at all with these new problems coming up, safety problems. It's just, you know, she needs to do more.
You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. We are running down the issues as we await the arrival of Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey at the WBUR studio in the State House. With us, Gary Daffin, Executive Director of the Multicultural AIDS Coalition and co-chair of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, Boston Herald columnist Joe Battenfeld, and Jesse Mermel, President and founder of the social change consulting group DeWitt Impact. Theme today is emergencies, Gary Daffin, both declared declared and undeclared. We did the undeclared with the MBTA already. I do want to turn to sheltering those without housing, where we have more than 6,500 families now in our emergency shelter system. Last week, Governor Healey submitted a supplemental budget that asks $250 million additional one-time dollars to help fund what's happening here. Interestingly, the legislature, Ron Mariano, Speaker of the House, pushes back and says, before we do anything, I want to know more. One of the things he asks for is, I want to know how many people in that 6,500 plus are migrants. Interesting question to get back, Gary Deffen, your reactions.
Well, I think the question kind of misses the point and doesn't really help in the, I mean, I don't know exactly how the question was raised, but if there's so many people in the system, we need to figure out how to help them all. Taking time to sort of count which are migrants, which are not, are we going to say, well, we'll give you 2/3 of the money for the people who aren't migrants, but not for the people who are? That's not the way this is going to work. And I think for people who are seeking shelter, they don't care whether they're migrants or people from here. They need to get housing. They need to be off the street. And there are other issues as well. The people who are migrants want to work, need to work. All the people want to work. And so there are other questions that need to be answered, like the fact that there are empty housing units sitting around in the state, as WBUR reported yesterday. And why are we not figuring out how are there better administrative systems to get people into housing that we already have and that have been sitting there for months or years? And so I think it's a time for action, and we need to figure out what we can do at the state. I know that we are asking the federal government, as are other people around the country, that they need to step up and change rules and regulations so that we can better accommodate and provide shelter for folks and other resources for folks, whether they are migrants or not. I mean, I will say I'm glad that we're in Massachusetts and we have a Governor Healey and not a Governor DeSantis or a Governor Abbott who are trying to, you know, have extrajudicial killings of people. But we're our state that wants to take on and provide services to people who need it. This is a crisis. It's related to the broader housing crisis. So this is one piece of it. But we are, you know, we are morally obligated to try and provide the services that people need. And yes, we need to provide money. I don't think it behooves us to take time to figure out like exactly who are migrants and who are not. I mean, that information is helpful for other reasons, but not for putting up money to solve the problem.
So a couple things there. One, I can't speak either way to the extrajudicial killings thing. I'm not familiar with that. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis did claim responsibility for the flights of migrants who arrived on Martha's Vineyard in August of last year. Jesse Mermel, I'll turn to you. Here is House Speaker Ron Mariano talking about the request and the numbers that he's seeking yesterday.
The administration's doing the best that they can do to gather all this information and give us some hard numbers. And it's not an easy thing to do. It's people coming from all different countries and coming in at all different points of entry. So it's a difficult challenge.
So two things that I want to underscore there. First, the Healey administration has been very careful, especially over the last week, to point out that anybody who is covered under the right to shelter law in Massachusetts is here under what's called the color of law. So they have entered in some way the legal system here in the United States. And as a result, although the Healey administration has said they don't formally track, they're estimating roughly half of people who are in shelter are migrants. They are pushing hard on the Biden administration, saying this is a federal problem and we need work authorization, or we need people to be allowed to work as soon as they have submitted their requests for work authorization, Jesse.
Yeah, I give the Healey administration a lot of credit for going up against the Biden administration. That's not easy, Democrat to Democrat, going into a big election year to call the president out and say, hey, you know, we need help here and you're falling short. So I think credit where credit is due to the Healey administration there. There is no question that Massachusetts and other states must be supported by the federal government. Gary is right. We want to help these people. We have a moral obligation. That doesn't mean we have the budget to do it. I think we should do everything in our power, too, but we need support from the federal government. To the speaker's question about numbers, you know, he's right to bring up the fact that these numbers are really hard to get. The Healey administration has pointed out they change every day. New people are coming in every day. So we could get a number and then it would be wrong the next day. The only reason the number feels valid is if we think we might get reimbursements from the federal government and we'd need to be able to account for how many folks that we were serving. But otherwise, I'm with Gary. Let's get the money out there. I would point out Just yesterday, 20 business groups from around the Commonwealth, including leading business groups like the Mass Business Roundtable, signed a letter calling on the Biden administration to issue those work permits immediately. Folks want to go to work, and we have businesses that need the help. Our economy needs the workers. These are not folks who are trying to be here freeloading off the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. They want to contribute. There is an administrative reason that's not happening. And business groups are now rising up, not exactly the community you always think of, right, is weighing in on these issues. They're coming together and saying, get your act together, federal government, and make this happen.
Yeah, that letter went out Monday. Joe Battenfeld of the Boston Herald, let me just let you jump in here.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a moral obligation to help these people. There's no doubt about that. And Governor Healey did answer the question as far as, you know, migrants, how many migrants are. I think she estimated out of the 22,000 in the shelter system, about 11,000 are migrants. So I don't know what the speaker is talking about. It seems to be a bit of a power struggle going on here, as Jessie is very familiar with, I'm sure, from her
I have no idea what you're talking about, Joe. I have no clue what you're talking about.
From her time in the State House, the legislature wants to control things and control the agenda. And so that's what that's about. And I think that Governor Healey, needs to do more to get control of the situation and not just complain about the federal government. It just seems to be falling on deaf ears there, because that's not really helping anything, but to do something, provide the money, make sure the money comes out to help these people. A lot of people are living in sort of substandard hotels and motels, and it's not a good way to live. And they're trying to get into schools, and we need to help as far as like education goes, getting people into schools and assimilating them into the system. And there's so many things that need to be done that I think, that she needs to be focused locally here, instead of just like she seems to be sometimes worried about her national image lately and playing to a national audience rather than worry about the local stuff going on right under her nose here in Massachusetts.
You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we are awaiting the arrival of Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey at the WBUR studio in the State House. Conversing with us on the issues we're preparing to talk with the governor about, Joe Battenfeld of the Boston Herald, Gary Daffin of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, and Jesse Mermel, Communications Director in the Deval Patrick administration. We've covered a number of either declared or certainly feeling like emergencies in the Commonwealth. Still there to talk about are the number of weather and climate-related emergencies, including those the governor has had to declare as states of emergency over the last several weeks, not the least being the washing away of pieces of the Fitchburg commuter rail line and devastation in Leominster. Gary Daffin, last week, the governor did declare a state of emergency in preparations for and response to the flooding there. Commuter rail line back in action just today along that stretch there. I think the question, so many questions on our minds, but one, Gary Daffin, is how long do we live in rolling states of emergency as these climate incidents literally wash over us?
Well, I think if we don't figure out a broader scale solution to some of these issues, we're going to be living with them forever. I think that is the point of people trying to address climate change. I think the governor's done a good job of, obviously, with the individual issues that she's tackled. I think she has a broader vision of trying to sort of implement policies that do help abate climate change. I think climate change is also something that's affecting all of these other issues. Migration across the world is being driven by climate change, and I think people don't necessarily put those two things together. The fact that we're trying to provide housing that's closer to the T so that people are less likely to use cars, that also relates to climate change. So there's a broader picture here that I think the governor is slowly trying to address, both the issues as they come up and the emergencies as they come up. But we've got to keep an eye on the ongoing policies, whether it's sort of not using single-use plastics or having a green fund to support affordable housing. All of these policies are things that will slowly but surely help us to get people to understand that climate change and climate issues are not just about the weather, as people think.
So Joe Battenfeld, one of the references Gary Daffen just made there is the governor this week issued an order saying that state agencies, state offices will no longer be allowed to purchase single-use plastic water bottles. First state in the country to do that. Big move at the state level, drop in the bucket in terms of the number of plastic water bottles that get consumed and purchased even here in the Commonwealth. Your reaction to that move, Joe?
Well, I think, like I said before, this seems to be a move to grab some attention nationally, and it won't have much of an impact, really, on climate change. But, I mean, symbolically, I guess it's something. But and I do give Governor Healey higher marks on handling, you know, what's been going on with the floods in Leominster and elsewhere. She's really... She's gone down there herself. She's taken charge of the situation and, you know, seems to be showing empathy for these people and helping out the local town officials in partnership with them. So I give her higher marks on that. But I do think that she still is consumed sometimes with trying to make an impression nationally where she needs to focus locally. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, what she's really, what her agenda is about. You know, what, whether it's the next office she's going to be running for or the next, you know, appointment she might be looking for. I don't know, but she seems to be focused on that a lot.
We are awaiting Governor Maura Healey's arrival at the State House, the WBUR studio there, speaking here with Joe Battenfeld of the Herald, Gary Daffen of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, and Jesse Mermel, president and founder of DeWitt Impact. Jesse, you wanted to pick it up.
Yeah, Joe, I got to push back on you about this piece about symbolism not really mattering. There's no question we need massive systemic change on the climate crisis and getting away from our horrific reliance on fossil fuels. But doing things like banning single-use plastics, particularly in a state like Massachusetts, where we lead on so many national policies from, you know, marriage equality to healthcare reform and you name it, it matters. And I think about back during the Jurassic period when I was on the select board in Brookline and we banned the use of plastic bags and styrofoam. And you would have thought, and I apologize to all of our wonderful Dunkin' Donuts consumers who are listening, but you would have thought that the Dunkin' Donuts consumers were going to rise up and picket everyone in Brookline because you weren't going to be able to get your styrofoam cup. Fast forward over a decade later, and Dunkin' Donuts announces they are getting rid of styrofoam cups in all of their stores. I mean, these things, yes, I get that they're drops in the bucket and they're symbolic, but they do push larger change. It is not a replacement for the massive systemic change that we need. But I got to push back on you, Joe. I think it matters.
So Gary Daffen, yeah. The other piece I'll ask you to pick up on is Joe Battenfeld's assertion that Maura Healey's national focus, for which she was often criticized when she served as Attorney General of the Commonwealth, suggests that maybe her eye isn't exclusively on the ball as governor.
I think that's a misinterpretation of how communications work now, because all politics are nationalized. And so all these issues we're talking about are not just issues that happen in Massachusetts. And the way that people in Massachusetts, including me, the way that we learn about them or experience them is not just about what's happening here. I mean, a lot of people here probably didn't think about the migrant issue until recently, but they've been hearing about it for a long time. And it's been framed in a way by national politics and sort of the national conversation. And I think that's true on all these issues, housing and migrants and climate change. Those are not issues that are just about Massachusetts. And people no longer only, sorry, Joe, read the Boston Herald or the Boston Globe or watch the local news. Everyone's watching the national news.
Well,
and
that's
everything's
okay.
Nationalized.
I've now said that Joe writes for both.
Should pay him more then. They need to pay him more.
Joe, yeah. We'll give you last word here. Last word, like sentence or two, Joe Battenfeld.
Yeah, I just think, you know, it's interesting that Governor Healey made that announcement in New York about the single-use plastic bottles. So, and it applies to only state agencies buying them. So it is a symbolic thing to, you know, a positive thing to do. But She needs to do more, I think, in that regard.
All right. And at that, we have Governor Healey has arrived in the studios at the State House for WBUR. So we'll say goodbye here to our guests, Joe Battenfeld of the Boston Herald, Gary Daffin of the Massachusetts Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus and the Multicultural AIDS Coalition, and Jesse Mermel of DeWitt Impact and former communications director in the Patrick administration. Thanks to all three of you.
Great to be here.
Great to be
Thank
here.
Thank you, Tiziana.
And now we turn to Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey. Governor, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, good morning. Great to be with you.
It's great to have you, Governor. As we were preparing for the conversation with you, we were sort of framing our discussion around both around emergencies, some declared, some undeclared. And I'd like to start there with housing and shelter for the more than 6,500 families who are now in housing and shelter here in the Commonwealth. You, of course, declared a state of emergency back in the beginning of August, and you've asked for about $250 million in additional one-time funds from the legislature. They're pushing back, asking for more details on the percentage of those 6,500 families that are migrants. How badly do you need the $250 million? Are you able to give the numbers that the legislature is asking for? And how soon do you need that money to be able to respond to the growing number of people in need, both who have been here long-term and who are coming into the state?
Yeah, well, thanks for the question. And, you know, the question, the issue is really not 250 or whatever I've sought for funding. And let me be clear, we have a very supportive legislature. We've been very much in touch about all of this throughout this time. And, you know, we'll sort that out. The issue right now, and it is an issue facing Massachusetts, it is facing states around the country. We have a failure of the federal government. We have people coming into this country over the border. They are escaping terrible, terrible, dire circumstances, and they are coming into our states. And because of Congress's failure to act on immigration reform, because of the federal administration's failure to do things like give us expedited work permits and to give us money to provide resources to reimburse us for what we're incurring, states are holding the bag and bearing tremendous burden. And it's why 2 months ago I announced an emergency here on this. I will tell you that good things have happened and continue to happen in the state. I am so grateful for the response. We have opened up Joint Base Cape Cod and Buzzards Bay. We also have two welcoming centers open, one in Boston and one in Quincy, that are operating extremely well. But we have people arriving every day in Massachusetts, 30, 40 families a day arriving, showing up at the bus station, showing up at Logan, looking for shelter. They are coming to us from states mostly on the border, and they are coming to Massachusetts. And we are doing everything we can to get them housed. Many of them have school-aged children, and they're actually in school. We're working with the districts and reimbursing them per pupil. And you know, we're doing all we can.
So, Governor, but
this is a failure of the federal government, and we need resources. It's why I've demanded that from the federal administration, from the Biden administration. I've had multiple conversations, and the federal government really needs to act here.
So, three follow-up questions.
You asked about the percentage. Let me also be clear, though, Tiziana, because you did ask about information about who is in our emergency shelter system. We have about 22,000 individuals in our emergency shelter system. It's a system that exists and has existed for a long time. It houses women and children and families who are experiencing houselessness. About half right now, it used to be less than half, about a third, but in recent weeks it's come close to half of the 22,000 are new arrivals to Massachusetts.
Right, so that's where
the
I wanted to interrupt
are
you.
Existing Massachusetts families.
Right.
And of those new arrivals, 10,000, excuse me, of the families in emergency shelter, both new arrivals and Massachusetts families who've lived here, about 10,000 children.
So
are in emergency shelter.
So that's the number that I want to come back to. And I do want to get back to the Biden administration, the federal part, because I want to talk about work permits in a moment. Underlying what you're saying, that this is a federal problem, and the number of families that you're saying are coming in every day, suggests that were we not experiencing the inflow of families from out of state, we would not be experiencing an emergency of need in our shelter system under the Right to Shelter law in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. We are in a housing crisis. Are you saying that were it not for the entry of migrants, we would not be in emergency situation for housing for families here in the Commonwealth?
No, I'm not saying that. And it's why we sought additional funding in our budget and why we've really leaned in to creating more housing around the state, because you know, this has been a top priority for me. As you know, I established a Secretary of Housing for the first time ever because we need to drive housing production. We've got too many people out there who can't afford rents, who don't have, access to means to cover that, and prices are just going up and up. So this was a problem, a crisis already. I would certainly say, though, the new arrivals have further exacerbated the capacity constraints we're facing in our emergency shelter system. And you pointed out something that's important, Tiziana, that Massachusetts is a state where by law we are required to provide shelter, to provide housing to women, families, and children experiencing homelessness. So that's an existing legal obligation we have. But, you know, what's happened here in the geopolitical dynamics, what we're seeing here in terms of the numbers and the new arrivals, you know, it's heartbreaking. I'm grateful to all of our service providers. We've worked with so many wonderful service providers out there who are on site and at shelters providing, you know, helping us to provide food and basic needs and medical care and transportation. I also think it's really important these folks have the ability to work. The new arrivals to a person, and I've spent time with many of them, they are desperate to work. And this is why I need the Biden administration to act. We need to get people working. They are anxious to work. We've got a workforce crisis. I set up through our team here a legal services program working with resettlement agencies on accessing and getting people basic needs, but also helping them apply for and get the kinds of work authorizations and permits that they may be eligible for right now.
So I want our listeners to understand, because your administration has been very careful to articulate in the last several days especially, people who qualify for Right to Shelter in Massachusetts are here legally. It's called under the color of law. And you're pushing, especially Susan Church, the Office of Refugees and Immigrants in the state, are pushing that the Biden administration allow people to work essentially the minute they filled out an application for work authorization rather than waiting for approval.
Exactly.
On what grounds should the government be able to do that, Governor?
Because it's common sense. We've got a workforce crisis. I don't know how many employers or industries I've talked with and heard from. We have people who are desperate to put people to work today, and we have people who are desperate to work today. So it seems to me the thing to do is marry them up, and it'll be good for our economy. It'll be good for our workforce needs. It'll be really good for these folks who've come here and, you know, are probably going to look to stay here and make a life here. Isn't it in our interest, both as a state and as a nation, to make sure that people are plugged in and set up and, you know, are able to get to work? And, you know, I don't care what party you're in. I think there's a unanimity of a view on that, that it just makes common sense. And so, again, I am proud of the work and the partnership at the local and state level here on the ground with our service providers, with our resettlement agencies. You know, we are getting people fed and housed. We're getting them medical attention. We've had a number of babies born in Massachusetts among some of these families. I mean, a lot is happening. Little kids are going to school. But
have
we
you,
also need help from the federal government.
Have you heard back from Alejandro Mayorkas of Homeland Security or anyone else in the Biden administration? You're not the only state official in the country to specifically push the administration on this question.
No, not to our satisfaction. And we need to. We need not just answers. We need response. We need action. And we've given them exactly what they need to do. You know, my letter to the White House could not have been more clear in terms of simple steps that could be taken to address this. Also, Congress has an opportunity to act. But so far, you know, they're not willing to. And we need money. I mean, in talking to my colleagues, other governors across this country, other states, I mean, we're all feeling it. And, you know, frankly, we're just having to foot the bill. And it is a big bill to take care of folks who are who are in this situation, and it is the direct failure of the federal government.
So a quick follow-on question here. You may be aware that this week WBUR reported that there are approximately 2,300 empty state-funded public housing units, despite the need for housing. Were you aware of the vacancies before their reporting, and are there plans to fill those units in any sort of speedy fashion?
Yes, I appreciated the reporting. It was something that we were aware of, and it's something that I had directed our housing secretary to address, and he is doing that right now. Our public housing system is absolutely crucial to helping to solve our housing crisis, especially as an emergency shelter system. But I have done a few things. One, this is not news to me. We identified it. Secretary Augustus and his team are focused on it. It's also why we increased our public housing budget this year in the budget, and we've put more money into our capital investment plan because, you know, we need to do everything we can to shore up these public housing systems. And, you know, again, I'll also say it's just really important that we build more housing here across the state. And sure, we want to do it in a sustainable, resilient way. But we really need this housing, Tiziana, because, you know, it will provide relief. And then the public housing system won't be as burdened.
So stay.
I hope very soon. Stay tuned, because we're going to come out. I'm going to come out with a huge housing bond bill soon. We need this bond bill. We need housing. It'll help with public housing, but it will help with housing needs generally, and that is something that is a pain point for so many across a variety of income levels, frankly, around this state.
So staying with this subject for a minute, and we did invite members of our texting group to send in questions. You can join it by sending Boston to 617-766-0382. Diane in Charlestown texted, there are homeless units available across the state, vacant for extended time. Can our governor appoint someone to expedite the process in this housing emergency? And I'll add to that, is it possible that these units could be used to house some of the migrant families, Governor?
Well, let me say on the first point, yes, I've already asked somebody to do that, and that's what Secretary Augustus is working on. We've actually made some changes to address this wait list, this issue, and the time it takes when one unit becomes vacant and it is filled. And so we're pursuing a centralized screening system now. We've offered other improvements that should expedite and take care of that issue. But, you know, it does underscore for me the need to just drive home the investments we need to make in housing. We need to build housing around the Commonwealth. In terms of the migrants, you know, one of the things I've asked the federal government for is give us federal property right now and staff it with federal employees right here in Massachusetts to help us shelter new arrivals here in the state. We need that as an asset and as support from the federal government.
If they did that, would that offset the 250 members of the National Guard that you've deployed? Would you be able to pull back Guard members?
Not sure about that. I will say, you know, the Guards people who are out there, they're just doing great work. Remember, so many of these folks were there for us in COVID, making sure that people were vaccinated and doing all sorts of things. And similarly, when we put the call out for the Guard, basically to say, hey, we need a body. We need somebody on site at these shelter locations because we want to make sure the people there are safe. We want to make sure that if they need to get to a hospital, if they need to get out to shop for food, if they need to get to a medical appointment or see a lawyer, somebody is there. You know, we've got kids in these shelters. So, you know, what we were having trouble with is there just weren't enough service providers and we didn't have enough volunteers, frankly, to staff these places. And so, you know, I made the call to ask for assistance from the Guard. We had, I think, 180 Guards people just volunteer, and they are out there now. I've met with some of them, and I'm grateful to them for their service. I hope it's not for an extended period because, again, we need federal resources and assets desperately. But I am grateful for the work that they are doing right now. And they're doing it in a buddy system. We have them teamed up with our service providers. Particularly, there's a wonderful woman who runs IFSI, which is a major Haitian service provider here in Greater Boston, Dr. Gabeau. And, you know, I called Dr. Gabeau, and she ended up, what we worked out is I said, can you help me? And now those sites are staffed not just with a Guards person, but also with a volunteer from IFSI and her organization. And, you know, that's really important, especially when it comes to language proficiency and needs. It's the kind of teamwork and the kind of partnership I am proud to see operationalized here in Massachusetts. And it's not enough because the numbers we're seeing, Tatiana, are unsustainable, and we need federal intervention. We need federal support, both in terms of dollars and work authorizations.
Our listeners are familiar with Dr. Gerald Gabeau. They've certainly heard her on the show. We're here with Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey. Going to switch gears now. We're much to cover, not a lot of time left. I do want to talk the MBTA. You've declared a state of emergency in some places here with the T. It certainly, I think, for riders, feels like we're in an emergency situation, especially after the latest communication from the Federal Transit Administration around safety issues with workers on tracks and near misses with trains, Governor. There are a series of hash marks now that the FTA is asking the MBTA to meet, one today, one tomorrow, one next Monday, one next Thursday. So my first question very simply is, will the MBTA meet every single one of those deadlines from the FTA, including the one today?
Yes, they better. And I have confidence that in GM Eng and what he is doing. As folks may know, I appointed a new GM to the T. He's the first engineer and first person with any transportation experience in the last 8 years. He is now in charge. He's appointed and created new positions. We now have a safety chief for the first time. We now have a stations chief for the first time, inspecting the condition of our stations. He's also brought on a number of other personnel to address these very operational safety needs. We have work to do. And yesterday, I met myself with the FTA administrator because I want to be clear with them that we are on it, that we will work with them, and that safety of workers and riders is our top priority. And so, you know, nobody wants this with greater urgency than I do. And I understand the public's frustration with the slow zones. And that's why I've demanded an assessment, a work plan, and a quick way to work through the repairs on the tracks to get rid of those slow zones. Folks may know we had to take some pretty drastic measures because the conditions over many, many years of mismanagement and disinvestment resulted in some serious safety concerns on the tracks. And so the way you do with that is you got to get in there with teams and do those repairs. And you also have to run the trains at a slower rate while that's happening and until those repairs are done. So we're working through this, and, you know,
so Governor,
I just want people to know that we are laser focused on this, and GMing is as well.
So there was, though, a new incident on Monday after the communication last Thursday, and with the FTA threatening to continue to restrict right-of-way access for individuals that would make it harder to do those repairs. How does an incident happen Monday when there's such when we're on notice about making sure those aren't happening anymore? Where does that fall down, Governor?
Well, I think part of this is culture, and this is one of the problems that we are confronting and that this new leadership team is confronting, and that we're working with employees on, making sure people understand that if there are issues, they need to raise issues, they need to say something as soon as they see them. We're not going to tolerate anything less, and near misses are unacceptable. And every day, you know, we need to make sure that people are held accountable and that there is the reporting and transparency. And right now, it's making sure that the right resources are in place. And clearly, they haven't been. They haven't been. I mean, you know, I don't know how many near misses we haven't heard about. I can tell you, as governor, I've been clear where there are incidents, I want them reported. I want that transparency, you know, and we need to drive accountability and a change in culture. While we work to do things like hire. I mean, we had to hire several hundred people, and we still have hiring to do because that's how short-staffed the T has been for a long time. That's unacceptable. So I'm not gonna sugarcoat it, and I'm just gonna be, you know, direct and forthcoming with the public about the state of play. It's not where it needs to be. And it is something that we are working on every single day. It is why I sat with the FTA administrator yesterday, along with the GM, and we'll be meeting today. So
I'm sorry, you're meeting with them again today?
No, no, not the FTA. I'm saying talking with the team further today on all this. This is something we're on very closely.
Let's shift gears again, Governor Healey. You have also had to declare a number of states of emergency in western Massachusetts, out in the Leominster area and Worcester, Bristol counties last week, as we have literally been flooded by flooding and weather crises. What is the most important step that the state needs to take to move us to a place where we are not in a constant or rolling state of emergency? I know that's a little hyperbolic. As weather events roll over us, Governor Healey.
Well, you know, this is why climate has been the top priority for me. It's why I named the country's first ever climate chief, to make sure that climate was an agenda that we are tracking and pushing on aggressively in all things, whether we're talking transportation or healthcare or infrastructure, you name it. It's also why we've invested significant money. Remember, I was the first to promise and deliver that 1% of our budget is going towards climate. I promised that, it happened. I promised a climate chief, it happened. We put forward a lot of funding to help communities with resiliency, because clearly what we know is that we're in a day and age where we're seeing weather events, the likes of which we haven't seen before. It's incredibly chaotic. It's unexpected. And we need to make sure that as we build forward roads, bridges, dams, infrastructure, we're doing so in a smart, sustainable, resilient way. We're also partnering with other states. You know, I have long been a champion for moving away from fossil fuels. To get there, we need to modernize a grid, we need to support our offshore wind industry, and we need to make sure that we are doing everything we can to meet our aggressive climate goals. One of the ways we get there is working with other states. So for the first time, you know, you have within our state government new positions. We have people who are focused directly on the partnerships we can engage in with other states and the federal government and private development to help incent and further the kind of resilient, sustainable building that we need going forward.
All right, Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey joining us from the State House, as you do once a month. Thanks for being here today. I think we'll have more climate to talk about next time you're with us. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Great to be with you, Tiziana. Take care.
You too.